You know, I know there's some, myself included, who are pretty distressed over the way that things of this world are going nowadays. It seems like it just waxes worse and waxes worse and waxes worse. People have made truths to be lies, and they've made lies to be truths. But folks, I tell you this, we are very, very blessed, you and I, to have been given this great gift, to be brought up and to have dwelt here in this very land where we live. You know, I was looking at the Constitution of the United States this morning, written by our forefathers that brought this country together. I don't know how many times, because I haven't read the whole thing yet, but in the very first paragraph it mentions God. And I don't know where those men stand on the truth of God, but I do know this, that they mentioned God in the very Declaration of Independence that we have. There's a lot of countries in this world who don't want to have anything to do with God at all, and they'll kill you for it. What a blessing it is that you and I have been brought up in this land in a time and an age. A blessing to be one with the people of this land, the American people. We are a people who come from many backgrounds, many different countries, but now we are an American people. Our forefathers who built this great land were blessed by the Almighty in building this land to what it is today. And it is not my intent to argue the politics of raising up this nation of people, but rather to speak to you about the one who raises up all nations. And he tears them down according to his purpose. He rose up Egypt to be the most powerful nation in all the world, so that he could show his hand of power to the world, and he took them out. Whoosh! Those walls of water came down over the top of the armies of Egypt, and they were all dead, floating on the beaches of the Red Sea. Our Lord says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word. This wonderful little book. And it really is. If you think about all the wondrous things that are in it, just a little book. A little letter to you and I, to the people of God, to those who God has loved from before the world was. The Word. God Almighty. "In the beginning was the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not made anything that was made. And the Word was made flesh," in verse 14, "and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He shall be called Emmanuel." You know what that word means? It means God with us. Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. Matthew 1:21, we read it this way, "And she shall bring forth a son that shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people." Did you notice what it said there? Did you catch that? It says, "For he shall save his people." Why is that important? Folks, there are people who are going to go to hell. And we all deserve that. Each and every one of us have walked the path of sin. The only reason we have any claim to righteousness this day is because our Lord was made sin for us. Think about that. If God in the flesh was made sin for the whole world, then the whole world would be saved. But he didn't. He said, "For he shall save his people." It is my hope this morning that the Lord will speak to sinners. I'm not a well-learned man. As I mentioned in Bible study, I consider myself to be the least when it comes to knowledge of what scriptures say, what they mean. But I am a sinner. And I know I'm a sinner. So what I have to share with you this morning, same thing I had to share with you every Sunday, it's a personal thing. It's the personal love and mercy that God has for His people. Those who are saved by Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's a personal thing with me. I pray that it's a personal thing with you. Because people are going through this world left and right who know a whole lot of stuff about what's in this book, but have no personal experience of salvation. Who have no idea what it means personally to be that one in the corner crying out, "Lord, have mercy on me." And then to find out He does have mercy on us. Oh. If you're one who is working out your own righteousness, exercising your so-called free will, making a decision, turning over a new leaf, being a better person, smarter than you were yesterday, today's message will probably be nothing more than foolishness to you. But if you're a sinner, if God has shown you the depth of your depravity, I got a message of good news for you. It's called the gospel. It's called the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ, a man and God, coming to this earth, making Himself, humbling Himself to be a servant. You know, I've said this in a message not too long ago. You would think, and this is what the Jews thought, Jesus, the return, the Messiah, would be all dressed in magnificent garb, be wearing all these wonderful king's clothes, and come back with all the power and wipe everybody else out and say, "Now the Jews are above everything. Restore them to their glory," is what Scripture says, when they were strong and going around conquering all the lands around them. We see Christ with a towel wrapped around His waist, humbled, washing the feet of those that He loves. That's you and I. That's the people of God. That's the very ones that He said, "He shall save His people." My people. Luke 5 verse 32, we read this. It says, our Lord in His own words speaking, He says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Are there sinners here today? He who hath an ear, let him hear. Oh, how I pray that you may have ears to hear. There are only two different peoples that walk this earth. There are dead, there are those who are dead in trespasses and sin, following their path to destruction. And there are those who were dead in trespasses and sin, and now have been made alive, in other words, quickened, as it says in the scriptures, quickened in the Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord, a people who will spend eternity in His holy presence. Are you with me in Ezekiel chapter 11? Look with me, if you would, at verses 16 through 20. Therefore saith the Lord God, although I have cast them afar off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. That means a little bit of peace when they're in the times of trouble. Many were thrown in prisons and stuff, and our Lord was a sanctuary to them in that prison, just as He was a sanctuary to Peter when Peter was taken to prison. We were talking about how it must have been. Peter must have heard that James had been killed. I don't know about you, but I'd been laying there between those guards scared. Yet by God's grace, He comes and He gives us a sanctuary, knowing that He rules all things. He says, as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Verse 17, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God. Now I want to stop there for a second. Thus saith the Lord God. Not John Reeves, not some man standing in a pulpit, but the Lord God to His people. To you, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. If your name was written down in the book of life before the world was, as Scripture says. If you are one who God has loved with an eternal love, He's speaking to you. Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither and shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence, and I will give them one heart. And I will put My new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in My statutes and keep Mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be My people, and I will be their God. But there's a warning that comes with this very thing. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. My people, He says. Oh, for the grace of God to be His chosen people. We all deserve His wrath. We all have earned His judgment. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet He has chosen to be merciful to some. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful to. But there's a warning that comes after that. And I will harden, He says. Look over at chapter 37. Turn over to chapter 37. Most of you are very familiar with these words here in Ezekiel 37. This is the story of the Valley of Dry Bones, where the Lord tells the prophet to go into the valley and preach. And then He sends the wind of life upon those that are preached to, and He brings skin and everything onto the bones. And He raises up a large army, as He says in verse 11 of 37. Then He said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people. Now look at verses 16 through 20. Oh no, I'm sorry, we already read 12 through 14. O my people, I will open your graves. This is in verse 12. O my people, I will open your graves and cause you. Now, did you hear that? And cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. and shall put my spirit in you, and shall live, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now I ask you, did you notice the decree we just read there? I know that when I came to the Lord, it was because He was drawing me. It was very clear. Our Lord is pretty clear with on things. That was one thing that He was so clear to me with. I was not seeking God when I came to this building. But God had caused every single, including the lights that turned green and turned red on my way here. He had caused. I will cause you to come up out of your graves. I wasn't looking for the Lord. I wasn't making some decision. It's the same power that called Lazarus out of the grave. Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth, still wrapped and bound in his grave clothes. It wasn't until after he was all the way out and before the Lord, when the Lord turned to somebody and said, "Loose him." It's the same power that God used when He called the disciples along the seashore. He said, "Come, follow Me." And we read three times where they got up and they left all and followed Him, because the power of God was behind those words. Our Lord says in His decree, "I will cause. I will open your graves," He says. "I will cause you to come up out of them." He says, "I will bring you into your own land. I will put my spirit in you. It is I, the Lord, which will do these things." And folks, I'll tell you, when these things are done, you shall know who the Lord is. I've mentioned this before. I'll mention it again, and I pray I have the opportunity to mention it over and over and over again. But the one thing that stood out most to me when I heard the true gospel was that there is a God who deserves to be called God. Not some weakling who's waiting around for me to do something, but somebody who loved me so much, and the day of His love, He called me out of that darkness that I once walked in. Is that the way with sinners? When those things are done, we shall know who He is, the Lord, and that the Lord hath spoken it and performed it. Folks, a child of the Most High is likened unto a man that was once blind. Listen to these words in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I'll read it for you. "And you hath He quickened," it says, "who were dead in trespasses and sin." Wherein time... Listen to these words. Listen to them. Do they describe you? They do. Do they describe you in the flesh? "Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And our Lord says to you and I, among whom also you, John, we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were blind. But when the Lord shows you how blind you were, you have eyes to see. And you can see the truth of what that is. And in doing so, He takes us in that blindness, in that new sight, and shines His light in our hearts. The light of our Savior, Jesus Christ. "But God," it says next, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins and hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. In John 17, verse 9 and 10, our Lord says this. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. We're talking about the people of God. My people, he calls us. These are promises that are made to certain people, not the whole of mankind, but to a specific group that he calls my people. A people spread throughout time, a people that are spread throughout all nations, a people who are spread throughout all tongues. Well, who are these people? Am I one? Am I seed that has been cast out onto dry ground? Will I go to church and just hang out? Mom is sitting with us today, and she'll verify this. John Reeves used to go to church once a year. I shared this with the folks Friday night. We were looking at the sower, the parable of the sower. And I used to go to church once a year to make my mom feel better. As I look back now, I'm sure there was no good feelings about it for her. Because she knew. He's just here to make me feel good. That's not what she wanted. She wanted the Lord to speak to my heart. I was what you would call a wayside hearer. I just showed up and some guy would be speaking up there in the front, and I'd be letting him talk, and as soon as he's done talking, love you, Mom, I'm out of here. Right, Mom? Yeah. I don't want to be a seed that's cast into the shallow ground and sprout up. And then as soon as a trial comes along, I wither away. Or even worse, I don't want to be a thorny ground here. The one I'm most worried about is that as somebody who loves the Lord or seems to love the Lord for a while or even maybe in a long time, and then the things of this world overtake. I want God to turn and keep turning. It's not a one-time thing, folks. It didn't just happen 20 years ago sitting there in that pew. It has to happen all the way until I leave this world and go home to be with the Lord. Turn the soil of my heart. Make that seed good. Not by what's in this flesh, but in your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good seed. Put him in me. Now, I know the world's not going to see it. They didn't see him when he walked this earth. And that's fine. Turn me, Lord, and I shall be turned. Am I one of his people? Turn over to the 10th chapter of John, if you would. John chapter 10. I can tell you this with a certainty, folks. While you're turning to chapter 10, let me read from chapter 6, verse 37. We read these words in familiar words with all of you. I preach them, speak them almost every message. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down, says my Savior, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing. but should raise it up again the last day. This is the man of all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, saying, I shall lose none. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him, am I one of them? Am I one of his people? Am I a good soil here? One that the Lord has churned the soil of my heart, cutting away the old stone and giving me a heart of flesh to see this, to believe on him that we may have everlasting life. He says, I will raise him up the last day. There's the good news. In Jeremiah 31:3, we read this, the Lord hath appeared unto me old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. His people. My people, he calls us. He's speaking to national Israel, a picture of all his chosen people throughout all of time. Just as the Valley of Dry Bones was a picture of the whole house of Israel, he's talking about all of his sheep. Are you with me in the 10th chapter of John? Look at verses 23 through 30. And Jesus, walking in the temple of Solomon's porch, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, and he says, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep, my people, Israel, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The sheep are those who hear his word and believe. We read this in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... Who are the whosoever? My people are the whosoever. Every picture of a lame, deaf, dumb person in Scripture that was healed, sick person in Scripture that was healed, is a picture of us, his people. We all were sick, dead in trespasses and sin, yet he loved us and gave his only begotten Son that we would live in him. Are you one of his people? Pastor, am I one of his people? I can tell you this, if you are, you will believe his word. Not just bits and parts. Not just those little things that make you feel good. For God so loved the world. People grab onto that and come up with all kinds of things that make them feel good. And they completely skip over the whosoever. They completely skip over the scripture that says, my people. If you're one of his, you believe it all. If you're one of his, you'll believe these words in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I used to be that way. I'm not that bad anymore. I stopped doing those things. Now I'm being a much better person. No. God's people believe that that's still our case unless we're in Christ Jesus. If you're a child of God, one who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will believe His word, where it says in Romans 3:11, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." Oh, wait a minute now, don't tell me that. I had to get away from that stuff in my life and change my life around for my children's sake. So I started going to church on Sundays. I was seeking the Lord. I found Him. I can tell you this, that if you're a child of God, one who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll believe these words from God Almighty out of His own mouth, where He said in John chapter 6 verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent him draw him." Or maybe these words in Romans 9:16, where it says, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Do you believe who He is? Do you believe who He is, as it says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Or what about these words that we just read a moment ago in John chapter 10 verses 29? "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Or maybe this one, 1 John 5:7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." There's a whole religion out there who likes to deny that one. God's people believe His word. The God of glory became flesh. I'm sorry, I skipped some part here. Do you believe what He did? Look with me, if you would, at a few pages to the right, chapter 19 of John. John chapter 19 of this very book. Do you believe what He did? We saw in God's word of who He is. Look with me now at chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Do you believe what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He put away sin. He saved His people. And here's a good phrase for you. You're going to like this one. If you're a sinner and you have been brought to the belief, to the true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to His word, this is going to be good for you. He has saved us to the uttermost. That's not a word we use much around in these days, so it might not be fully understood. You know what uttermost means? Picture a line that goes from east to west. It won't stop. It just keeps going. When you get all the way as far as you can to the east, all of a sudden east is over there, and you just got to keep on going. So you get all the way as far as you can, you think you can, to the west, and the line just keeps right on going. It keeps going west. Uttermost. That's good news for John, because John's a big sinner. Is that good news for you? The blood of Jesus Christ has put away sin. He has saved you to the uttermost if you are His people. The God of glory became flesh for this very purpose, to glorify Himself through His mercy in saving His people. Do you believe where he is right now and what he's doing right now? In Hebrews 10, verse 12, we read this, "But this man," speaking of our Lord and Savior, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." He is arose. Death couldn't hold God. He has the keys to everything. Everything belongs to him. Did he die? Absolutely. He had to. He had to put away the sin of his people. If he hadn't put away the sin of his people, we couldn't be with God, because you know he's holy and God is holy. He can't have anybody around him who's not holy. He who knew no sin had to be made sin and take that sin into the grave and die, because death are the wages of sin. And then a raise. Like he said, "I must go to Jerusalem, be beaten, be persecuted, and then I must arise the third day." He arose, sat down at the right hand of God. Our great King, our great High Priest, our Mediator is interceding on behalf of his people right this very moment. His elect, those for whom he has loved with an everlasting love, a people that he will have for himself. He has loved them, Paul tells us it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Do you believe God? "Lord, I believe, but I'm weak in the flesh. Lord, help thou my unbelief." If the Lord has loved you from the foundation of the world, you will believe these words. He says it so. He says so perfectly. It's clear. It can't be misinterpreted. It can only be ignored. And if it's ignored, it's ignored by those who don't belong to him. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." One of the best examples of advice that I could give a young couple that was moving away to Texas. What should we look for in a church, John? I said, "Go to wherever you think, wherever the Lord leads you to go. Listen to what they say. And if they're not preaching the truth, you'll get up and walk out." Well, we're worried that we might get... No, folks, you belong to God. Did you hear that? You belong to God. And if you belong to him, no man is going to pluck you out of his hand. No man, John Reeves, is not going to pluck himself out of God's hand. I may think I'm doing something. Oh yeah, I'm going this way. Jonah thought he was running from God. He was running right where God wanted him to go. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I'll close with these thoughts. What is it to know? What is it to know that I'm one of his people? It's to know the love of God for me. It's to know that I don't deserve that love. I can't buy that love. I can't do something to earn that love. It's to know that he has loved me despite me. Are you a sinner? Are you experiencing the love of God for you in your heart? Well, I've chosen a song to close.